Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Tony D here on the Nighttime on Yahoo Sports Radio. Continue to look at the NBA playoffs with the Western Conference Finals underway now after Oklahoma City beat Golden State. We've got the Eastern Conference Finals coming with Cleveland and Toronto. Heck, the draft lottery is going to be on Tuesday night. And so we got a lot to get to with the NBA. And that's why we bring in Jeremy Wu from SI.com. He joins us here on Yahoo Sports Radio. How are you, Jeremy?
Hey, man, doing well.
Let me ask you this. The keys tonight for Oklahoma City, I mean, there was a lot of them in terms of limiting turnovers and staying big. When you watch this game, how did you think the key was for Oklahoma City to pull this off?
Yeah, well, you know, I think, you know, it was kind of tough, and I think it was kind of tricky because, you know, you saw, I think, both sides kind of tinkering with lineups a little bit. But I think OKC, you know, a big factor for them was, I think, I'm looking at the box score now, and they had 15 second chance points, and the Warriors only had two. I think that the fact that they were able to go with two bigs for a lot of the game, you know, with Ibaka, Adams, Kansas are kind of rotating, I think is huge. You know, the Warriors, they went small for, you know, a lot of the game and tried to pull those bigs out of the paint. You know, Green played a lot of center. I think it worked out for Oklahoma City tonight. You know, I don't know if the Warriors will miss this many shots. You know, it wasn't a great shooting night for either team, though, either. So it could go either way, but I think that the big men definitely decided a lot of what happened tonight.
Yeah, you talk about the missed shots, and those are always a crapshoot. Golden State could come out and just start hitting shots, and this becomes a different series. Adjustments are going to be made. How major of adjustments does Steve Kerr have to make?
Yeah, you know, I think the first thing you can point to, I don't know if it would be a major adjustment, but you can point to, you know, I think Bogut, you know, he played 17 minutes, and he didn't take any shots. You know, they kind of rotated, you know, him and Azeli. I think people coming into the series thought Azeli would play a bigger role than he did tonight. So I think I would expect the first adjustment just to be staying big because I think they gotta win the glass. So I think you know watch them stay big the next game, sort of see if that adjustment works, and use that death lineup as more of a change of pace rather than a. You know I think it's better and more dangerous when you can kind of just pull it out at the end of a quarter and make the other team adjust to it instead of you know letting it kind of simmer out there.
I want to ask you about Billy Donovan, because when we talk about the NBA, coaching matters, but the stars kind of matter more. And Billy Donovan has had a team just not that long ago that got blown out in game one against San Antonio. And everyone was going, oh, boy, where is this series going to go? And he turned it around. They won 4 out of 5, and now they win tonight. How much credit does Donovan get for keeping this team level and kind of steady and making the minor adjustments that he's got to make?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, I'm willing to give him some credit. You know, I think there have been times, you know, where his rotations were a little bit weird. But I think he's figured out definitely how to stagger Durant and Westbrook. And I think, you know, a lot of the stuff behind the scenes, you know, we're not going to know about, really. But I think you can definitely, you know, the Thunder look comfortable. They look confident. And I think, you know, you got to point to the coach anytime. I think when you see a run like they're making, you know, kind of coming from where they were into the Spurs and turning it all the way back around. I think definitely from a confidence standpoint, and, you know, winning, you know, after not beating the Warriors all year, you know, coming in, you know, game ones don't matter too much. You know, I don't usually put too much stock into them because it's sort of a feel-out game. But for OKC to get that first win under their belt is really tremendous, I think, going forward.
Jeremy, I want to ask you this because there's going to be a lot of people that look at this game and they don't follow the NBA that deeply and may say, okay, it's only game one. What do we have here? Do we have a competitive series that will go seven, or do you think, hey, in the end, Golden State's a better team, and I wouldn't be surprised if they rip off 4 wins out of the next 5?
Yeah, you know, I think it's going to be competitive. I think you can just sort of sometimes you can just kind of tell in terms of like how the tone is set from here. And again, yeah. I guess you know, the last series. I mean, obviously, starting to blow out and ended you know differently than we thought it would. But I think that. I expect it to be a long series. Yeah, I think the Thunder have a lot at stake. You know, with you know, obviously the undertone of you know Durant, free agency, Westbrook next year. You know, they've had to deal with a lot of scrutiny over the course of the season, and I think it's not lost on them. You know, that this is really, you know, their best opportunity. It could be their last. So you know, I think that I expect it to be competitive. You know, I don't think they're going to get. I mean, maybe they'll get blown out. You know, Warriors, you know, have those games in them. But I fully expect this to be, you know, really fun. I think it'll go 6 at least.
Jeremy, you're at the Combine. The draft lottery is coming up on Tuesday, and then we got the draft in June. What did you notice at the Combine? Is there anything that stood out to you there?
Yeah, you know, it's tricky. I think that, you know, none of the big names played. You know, a lot of the, you know, some of those guys didn't even show face for interviews. So there wasn't a ton of star power at the Combine last week. But, I mean, there were definitely guys, you know, who improved their stock, you know, guys who are sort of, you know, second round, you know, maybe, you know, 25 to 45 and onward type guys who, you know, I think definitely help themselves out. And I think the biggest thing is, you know, you can get attention in terms of teams seeing you for the first time. A lot of head coaches are there. You know, get invited to workouts. It kind of goes from there for these guys. So I think the biggest takeaway for me is just, I think that, you know, a lot of times we're talking about this draft. Again, not a lot of star power at the top. But I think once you get down to like the, you know, 20 to 40 range, there's a lot of talent. And I think, you know, from that standpoint, it's deep. So if you can, you know, it's not a great year to be picking in the lottery and not have a top two pick. But, you know, the rest of those teams, I think, are going to be, you know, come away, all right, you know, once you get further down.
Is the lottery still a good thing? I remember watching this as a kid. I remember the envelopes. I remember David Stern reaching into a you know, look like a large bingo ball and pulling them out. I've always been fascinated by this process. Is there anybody ever said we got to do something different, or do they like what this is? It's kind of a cool event.
Yeah, you know, I mean, yeah, I think the lottery, you know, to me it works. You know, there's been talk about like doing this like wheel system, where like, I don't remember exactly how it works, you know, but there's been talk about doing different ways to sort of allocate it and make it more fair, and, you know, to try to prevent teams from tanking. But, you know, I don't think it needs to change. You know, I think that you can look at it like, you know, maybe look at the Sixers, you know, if they were tanking the last couple of years, you know, from reading Hinkie's, you know, manifesto, it sounds like they definitely, you know, quietly were. And, but again, you know, they didn't get the number one pick. And, you know, again, it's like you can tank as much as you want, but it doesn't always, you know, guarantee anything. So, like, from a competitive standpoint, you know, looking at, you know, around the league, you know, I don't think you want teams that are going to be doing that. But at the same time, you know, it's not guaranteed results either. So I think it works. I think that, you know, I think it's fun. I think definitely, as a, even for casual fans, it's interesting, definitely, to, you know, tune in every year and sort of see, you know, kind of how luck runs this course, if you believe there's enough conspiracies, of course.
Well, the good news is, like, we're not going to see Cleveland win the first pick again like we did when LeBron was down in Miami.
Right.
Jeremy Wu,
You never know.
Yeah, exactly. Jeremy Wu, SI.com on the NBA. Appreciate your time as always, my friend. Thank you so much.
Yeah, of course. Take care.
That was Jeremy Wu of SI.com. Kind of lost Tony, so I think he must just have to reconnect to his thing. Yeah, basically with the draft lottery that is tomorrow night, it looks like the Lakers will be in the top three. The Sixers are always right there with how bad they are. Boston's a team that's looking to get in the top three. They have a pick from the, I believe it is the 76ers, that's top three protected, that if it's inside the top three, they get it. Or no, outside the top three, they get it. So it'd be like four. And the Celtics could really use that to, you know, kind of progress what they've already started as a rebuild of that franchise since the big three era of KG, Paul Pierce, and Ray Allen from the championship a few years back. And they could get a guy like a Dragon Bender or... You know, I don't know if Simmons will fall there. Most likely it's going to be Simmons and Brandon Ingram 1-2. You got a couple international kids. You got guys like Buddy Hield, the kid from Jamal Murray from Kentucky. So there's just a lot right there. And then going back to the Warriors Thunder game tonight, it's such a flip-flop game with the way it was played in the first and second half that. Yeah, I do think the Warriors are fine. I'm not saying they're done. The Thunder showed, though, that they can definitely play with them, and they'll definitely give them a series, this entire thing. It wouldn't surprise me if it does go seven. All right, we'll get Tony back, and we'll be right back here on Yahoo Sports Radio.